So gentlemen, for today we want to finish up on Bishul. I hope that will take us about 15-20 minutes. And then move on to Melechet Zorea. Okay. So maybe we can close the door. Thank you so much. Okay, with regard to Bishul, we have a sugya here on Daf Mem on the Beis, and the Gemara establishes that Klisheni Eina Mavasha. Now the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simon Shin Yud Ches, and you'll see this in Sif Tes, that Kli Rishon is Mevashel, so you can't put something raw into a Kli Rishon. And the Mechaber says HaKli Yishtamish Bala Eish, the Kli was originally, the, let's say the water was boiling in the Kli when it was on the fire. V'afilu Liachar Shehenu Me'ala Eish, now he took the pot off the fire. Mevashel Kolzman Shayad Soledis Bro. As long as it's still Yad Soledis Bro, there is Bishul in the Kli Rishon, because that Kli Rishon was on the fire. Lefichach also Viten L'Socha Tavlin, says the Mishnah Berurah, of the Kli Sheni Muto Loseis Tavlin Afil Yad Soledis Bro. The Einam is Bashal Shom. So the simple, straightforward pshat here, before we move on to what's called Kaliyah Bishul, is that there's a fundamental difference between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni. Both contain water that's absolutely boiling hot. We're not talking about the water cooling off. The Mechaber says specifically, calls Manchiyat Soledis, but so you turned off the fire, it's a Kli Rishon, and it's Mevashel, but if it's a Kli Sheni, and it's still Yad Soledis Bo, then Eino Mevashel. And the Pashas is, you could put even raw food inside the Kli Sheni, and it's not Mevashel. But why does life become more complicated for us? Because in the same Simon Shin Yud Ches, if we go back for a moment to Se'if Dalid, so here he says that even though you can take a Dover Yovesh and you're allowed Mutal Yisrael Sobachamin, you're allowed to soak it into hot water on Shabbos, but the exception to the rule, he says, is Chutz Min HaMaliach HaYoshan U'min HaDag Shenikra Kulyas HaIspanin. So this is the sugya here in Perek Kira, and the Mishnah Berurah writes Dag Maluach Shalshona Sha'ovra. So it's already been processed for a year. Kulyas HaIspanin Hushem Dag Sha'ochlon Asomachmas Milcho. You can eat it even though it's raw, because it's very salty. Al yidei hadocha b'chamin. So you just soak it in the hot wood.
Yes. Schmaltz herring.
Great. Excellent. Yeah. It's got to be Dutch, though. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I daven in a Dutch shul in Harnof. So the herring is a ganze Torah up there. Okay. So he says the following. Why is it that with regard to these two fish, you're not allowed to soak them in hot water, even though it's in a Kli Sheni? He says, Shezeu gmar malachton v'havi kibishul. Therefore it becomes like bishul. Okay. Now, what practical, if any, applications would this have today for those of us who aren't soaking our daga ispin in hot water? So let's take a look in the Shmirah Shabbos Kehil, because I think you should have a photocopy of that.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll start on page Chaf Ches. There may have been a mistake on what I wrote, but at least you should have the right page photocopied. And he writes here that Kli Sheni, as far as Kli Sheni is concerned, this is Os Nun Tes. Mikevet Sheyeshna Macholam Misbashlim Gam B'Kli Sheni. This is after his whole introduction about Kli Sheni, and he says that Iri Kli Rishon might have the din of a Kli Rishon, but certainly once it's soaking in a Kli Sheni, it's Einam Mevashel. Then he writes that there are foods that are able to be cooked even in a Kli Sheni. And then he writes, V'ein anachnu b'kiyum ladas eluhim. we cannot really know, we're not expert enough to know which raw food might get cooked in a klisheni. And therefore he says, Yesh lahachmir velomar shekol dover she'eno mevushol, anything that's raw, yesh bo iser bishul gam b'nesinoso b'klisheni. Again, we're talking about yatzol lettuce, but what the point that he's saying is we don't know what foods might fit into the category of kaliya bishul shemisbashlu b'klisheni, and therefore we should take a sweeping chumrah. He says all this is only if the tavshil is being put into klisheni shucham kishir yatzol lettuce bo. Fine. He gives a few examples. He speaks about pouring cocoa into a klisheni, coffee, ground coffee into a klisheni. He's assuming that these are raw, solid foods. Again, if you're talking about, let's say, tea that's already been cooked, or tea leaves that have already been cooked, or for example, if you have coffee beans and they've already been cooked once, but now we're talking about something that's raw, beitza chaya, for example, he did a raw egg and he wants to put it into a klisheni. Ale te, he says that if it wasn't cooked and you want to put it now into a klisheni, that's a problem. And kol elu ema seisam bekosru klisheni, if it's yatzol lettuce bo. Why? Because they're not mevushal and it's possible that they fit into this category of klisheni. And therefore he says, Ein litein pelech limon, you know, there are people who, you know, they can't drink hot tea without lemon, and addicted to lemon. So he says he shouldn't be putting his lemon into a klisheni. So some want to avoid all these issues about kaliya bishul, and they make sure that every tea, every cup of tea is only a klishlishi. Because he goes on to say the next page of klishlishi is not mevashel. So that's what he has here on page Chaf Ches. Now on the Mar Makomas page, I wrote that there's a Chazon Ish here. I wasn't able to get a hold of the Chazon Ish. Maybe somebody returned it back to the shelves. But as far as I recall, the Chazon Ish says that you're allowed to put tea, you're allowed to put lemon into hot tea, even in a cliche. And that's why I mentioned to you the other day that there are some poskim who hold that cliche and a mevashel, period. And right. The only two exceptions, which we don't even know what they are, so forget about the exceptions.
The Chazon Ish holds differently. He holds that even a klishlishi revi, you can't put things in if it's yatzol.
Ah, so that's not, as far as I remember, that's the sheet of the Urayim. Again, you want to give me a Chazon Ish, again, I'm pretty sure I remember this correctly, but it would be like this. If you walk out of the door and turn towards the right, but stay towards your left, if you follow what I mean. So there's a shank on the left, and the Chazon Ish is like, I think, on the bottom shelf. See if you can find it. So we'll get a chance to look at the Chazon Ish, the assumption is that since a klisheni is not mevashel, how much more so klishlishi is not mevashel? And when the Gemara says,
so it's a sfor, but does the Gemara bring down the
I don't know. I don't know of any source for that. But since the Gemara is mechadish that only in the case of kaliya bishul there is bishul in a klisheni, the assumption is that's because a klisheni still maintains some of the steps. Yeah, that's missing. All right, so we'll. Belineder, we'll double check it. We'll double check it afterwards. There's another point here that I wanted to make in the Shmir Shabbos, which if you flip your page to the other side, you'll see something here on page Lamites, and this is also in the parak that's dedicated to Bishul, but it's Sif Katan Pei Gimel, and this was the discussion I had with you yesterday, the day before yesterday, about a thermos. And the whole point, the whole purpose of a thermos is that it functions to maintain the heat of something even that's poured into it, into the thermos, so it makes the thermos technically into a kli sheni. And he says that it's mutter. Why? Because it's a kli sheni. And he's not interested in whether or not it's yatzol lettuce bo. In other words, he's completely ignoring the fact that the klisheni, in this case the thermos, maintains the heat meaning that usually we speak about a kli sheni as dofnei akli makaros, that the walls of the kli will cool off what you put into it because they're cold walls. Here in the case of the thermos adarava, the walls of the kli function technologically so that they maintain the heat. But he says, nevertheless, as long as the thermos was absolutely dry and you poured mayim from a kli rishon into the dry thermos and you filled it up to the top, is din ha-thermos atzmo kidin kli sheni. And it's interesting that this question, as we'll soon see, was asked to one of the Gera Rebbes about a thermos. You know, the Gera Hasidim work with a premise that you and I might find a little bit odd or uncomfortable, that ein chadash tachas ha-shemesh. Meaning that anything you'll come up with in modern technology existed in some other form at the time of Chazal. Maybe not the form that we have it, because we invented it, but the basic principles were there back at the time of Chazal. I'll try to explain to you what that means in just a minute. But anyway, getting back to the Shita here of the Shmir Shabbos Gehilchasa, he basically has a blanket heter for a thermos as a kli sheni, and this becomes very relevant, he says, to a certain type of electric thermos. And he says that what they do is they use this process. He says, "Mutal shtamish b'mecham thermos chashmali shamayim shebo nishmar mecham liachar resichasam." He says that even though, as a result of this electrical thermos, the heat of the water within is preserved, he says, nevertheless, it still has the status of a cliche. In other words, there was never a mutal shtamish b'mecham thermos chashmali shamayim shebo nishmar mecham liachar resichasam v'yisol shtamish rak b'mashiva hayadanit v'lo mashiva chashmalit. In other words, what you do is you take out the water from the thermos, but he wants you to do it in some sort of right. So what does he mean, mutar shtamish b'mecham thermos chashmali? What does he mean, mutar? I guess he's telling you that din thermos zek and din kli rishon omin al gabei ha'esh. He says as long as it's connected to electricity, then it becomes a kli rishon. But as soon as you draw out the water becomes a kli sheni, unless you draw it out with what? With what he calls a masheva chashmalit. So the difference between the first paragraph, him, Pei Gimel, and the second is that in the first paragraph he's talking about a classical thermos the way we know it. It's not electric. And if there's no electric unit, it becomes a kli sheni for all dinim. But if there's an electric element in the thermos, that's considered a kli rishon, and therefore you have to be very careful when you draw the water out that you're drawing it not with a masheva chashmalit, because then it maintains its status as a kli rishon. So that's what we have here. Not all poskim are willing to accept this. Okay, so now, in order to explain the other shita, why maybe a thermos is a problem, so I mentioned to you the Gera dynasty. Now, the Gera dynasty, which is a little bit related to the Sukkachava, the Igley Tal, they have a sugya in Masecht Pesachim. Unfortunately, I don't have in front of me the Gemara Pesachim, so I'll just sort of quote it by heart. Oh, the Gemara Pesachim says the following. Did I mention this on the Maram Komas? Yeah, you'll see it in number He. It's a sugya in that part of Pesachim that deals with Karban Pesach. Now, just by way of introduction, we have the following principles. Principle number one is that a Karban Pesach is not allowed to be cooked. It's got to be roasted. And if you cook a Karban Pesach, Bishul Karban Pesach is a violation of a lav d'orais, you get malchus for that. That's introduction number one. Therefore, it goes without saying that if you would take Basar HaPesach and put it into a pot, and there's a fire under the pot, and you cook it to Michael Ben Josoy, you would violate a lav d'orais. What is the Gemara vacillating about? What is the Gemara unsure about? What happens if you cook the Basar HaPesach in Chamei Tveria? So here's my second introduction. There's a whole sugya in Perikira called Chamei Tveria. What's unique about Chamei Tveria is that it's a natural spring that has very, very boiling hot water. Hot springs, as we call it. And the Gemara assumes, again, there's one opinion that disagrees with this, but the Gemara assumes that Chamei Tveria is heated not by fire. And if it's not heated by fire, then it's not your classical bishul, because bishul always requires bishul gabi ha'esh, or what's called toldos ha'esh. And now the Gemara is maintaining that Chamei Tveria is not called toldos ha'esh. Later on, the Gemara offers a suggestion that maybe going underneath the core of the earth is a fire, right? The pisca shel gehenom, and that fire is heating up the water that ultimately comes out as Chamei Tveria. But right now we're assuming, forget about fire. We'll call it a self-heated pool, a self-heated spring. It's called Chamei Tveria. So the Gemara now in Pesachim wants to know whether or not this bishul in Chamei Tveria. And since the Gemara there is not discussing Shabbos, but rather discussing Karban Pesach, so the Gemara wants to know, do you violate the law of bishul Karban Pesach with Chamei Tveria? So the Gera dynasty got very, how should I say, very dedicated to this sugya.
Very excited.
Very perplexed by this sugya, and therefore they were willing to give a lot of energy into this sugya. So it goes back to the Chidush Arim and the Sfas Emes and the Aramis and all the different Gera Hasidim. Don't ask me because I'm not a Baki of the dynasty, but you can actually open up the encyclopedia and get a whole family tree of the Gera dynasty. The Alter is the name, Alter. And they want to claim the following. This Gemara, At the face of it, makes no sense. Why? The halacha that you violate a lav for bishul karban pesach only applies if the basar ha-pesach is kosher. If it's possible, then there's no lav. And once you take the basar ha-pesach out of Yerushalayim, because basar ha-pesach has the din of shlomim, and the Mishnah says shlom is necholim tochomus Yerushalayim. So if you cross the boundary, which you certainly have to do to go all the way up to Tveria, then it's already yotza chutz Yerushalayim. And the Gemara makes no sense. In other words, what they're grappling with is to find a hechatimza in which you could possibly, if you assume the Chamei Tveria yeshbo mishum bishul, you could cook anything like anything of kodshim, anything like a karban pesach in Chamei Tveria. Okay, now, before we get into, you know, details about how this works, the Imre Emes says the following, that let's assume that they collected Chamei Tveria in a big basin, and somehow, you know, they put it on the back of they had a carriage with a camel and a chamor or whatever, and they brought it to Yerushalayim. So he asks the following question. Even if I hold the Chamei Tveria, yesh bo bishul, but we have another principle of klisheni ein mevashel. So if in transporting the Chamei Tveria they needed to use a klisheni, obviously, then again, you don't understand what's the chetimsa, what is the Gemara talking about, when it says that maybe you'll be chayav for bishul of basar pesach in Chamei Tveria. It's, by definition, it's in a klisheni. And in order to answer this question, he comes up with, again, I'm going to just present his chiddush to you. It's very strange to our ears, but he has a principle called Ein Chadash Tachas HaShamash, which means whatever we can come up with today, with the most modern technology, existed in some basic primitive form back at the time of Chazal. And he wants to say the following, that if we can create a klisheni that has the status of a Kli Rishon, and that's the technology when in his time was brand new. A thermos is about a century old, by the way. Our great grandparents didn't know what a thermos was. It's not an old ancient thing. He says, no, Ein Chadash Tachas HaShamash. They too, at the time of the Gemara, knew how to create a thermos type technology in whatever form, which was able to be shomer al hachom, it could maintain the heat, even though it's in a cliche. So the entire Gemara, according to the Riemis, of yesh bishul b'chamei tveria, ein bishul b'chamei tveria, means that they transported the chamei tveria in a thermos. 16 centuries ago. Okay, that's pretty interesting.
It was still a cliche, isn't it?
No. So now we're saying against the Shmir Shabbos Gehilchus, so that's why I told you at the outset, I don't know if you were here, Alan. I don't know if you went through the Shmir Shabbos Gehilchus, so he claims, in the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that a thermos is a cliche, and despite the fact that the water is boiling hot, and it hasn't lost any of its heat, from the Kli Rishon putting it to Kli Sheni, it still has the halach of a Kli Sheni v'eino mevashel. Comes along the Imre Emes, who was way before Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he says that no, that the thermos has a din of a Kli Rishon. And why does the thermos have a din of a Kli Rishon? Because the Gemara says that you can be mevashel in Yerushalayim with Chamei Tver. How can you possibly be mevashel in Yerushalayim with Chamei Tveria? It must be that there's such a thing as a Kli Sheni, which is a Kli Rishon. Fascinating. And here we have the Igli Tal. Now the Igli Tal, if you can make a note of it, because I'd love you to go through it, is on page Shin Beis. I don't think I wrote that on the page. So if you could just add that for me, to the Maram Mekomos. Okay. Now, he has a Rashba, which is very fascinating. But before we see the Rashba, I want to mention here that about a century ago, there was a Gadol B'Yisrael, maybe you heard it from Rabbi Meir Arik, and he authored a Tshuva Sefer called the Imre Yosher. And he writes the following. He says that he doesn't agree with the Imre Yosher necessarily, but he has another way of understanding the Gemara in Psachim. And he says the following. He says that what they did was, I'll read to you his language, he says that Basar HaPesach, the Gemara in Psachim Daf Mem Aleph is talking about Kaliya Bishul that can be subject to Bishul in a cliche. Now, how can we talk about Kaliya Bishul in Basar Pesach? Basar Pesach means that it's raw meat. Raw meat is not Kaliya Bishul. On the contrary, we'll see in the Igli Tal Pumfaker that according to the Rashba, you can never cook meat even in a Kli Rishon. If it's not, I'll give you a Yishmash. But let me not jump the gun. I'm trying to organize my thoughts in a logical way. Okay. So how then could you possibly, in the wildest dreams, classify Basar HaPesach as Kaliya Bishul, such that they could be cooked in a cliche? He says the following. That he wants to be Mitzarev two shitas. There's one shita that says that yesh tzliya, I'm sorry, start again, yesh bishul achar tzliya. Do you hear this from both sides? This is an issue that goes back to Hilchos Basar B'Cholov. Whoever learns Simon Peites in Basar B'Cholov, in terms of bishul Basar B'Cholov, has to know the machlokes, what happens if Reuven, I'm just mentioning Reuven, it could be the same person, but just Reuven roasted a cheeseburger or something like that, Chas V'Shalom, and now Shimon took the cheeseburger and he put it into hot water and he cooked it. So there's a Mandi Omar who holds Yesh Bishol Achar Tzli. What that means is that Tzli works in one particular, biological way, and Bishol works in another different biological way. Therefore, the Bishol after the Tzli is meaningful. That's number one. Then he says number two, there's another shita which holds that Basar Tzli is Kaliya Bishol. In other words, not only is it a chumra to say that there is Bishol after Tzli, but go even a step further, and the Bishol after Tzli in the case of Basar is that much easier. We would have said there's no such thing as Bishol after Tzli, but according to that Fabiyahu who says Yesh Bishol after Tzli, that's a big enough of a chiddush. Now we're parlaying a chiddush on top of a chiddush, and we're saying that not only is there bishul liachat sli, but it's very easy to be mavashel liachat sli, such that even in a klisheni like kali abishul, you can be mavashel after sli. So Mimele wants to say the following: they transported the water of Chamei Tveria in a klisheni, not a thermos, but in a klisheni, and they had a piece of Basar Pesach Salui, right? It was already roasted. And the Gemara wants to know, since we hold, again according to that Shita, that Yesh Bishol Achat Sli, Basar Sli is Mikalia Bishol, and therefore, if Chamei Tveria, even though there's no Eish, constitutes a royal Bishol, then it'll be Bishol even in a cliche. I have only one problem. He solved one problem, but not the other problem. Because what else do we need to have bishul in a klisheni, Rabosai? Yad?
So
let us go. I would like to see someone transport water from Tveria to Yerushalayim in a klisheni and it still be yad soles.
By camel?
No, by thermos. In other words, Rabosai, unless you have a flying camel, but I would say the following. That what we have to do is we have to take the Imre Yosher and combine it with the Imre Emes. So we have two Imrim here, right? Two Amar. Watch what happens here. We can solve both problems. We put it in a thermos, and the thermos maintains its heat, correct? But then we have a problem because klisheni ain't a mavasha. The answer is it's after tzli, and if it's after tzli, it's kali abishal, and kali abishal is mizbashal in a klisheni if it's yad solitz. All right. Anyway, that was just my Torah for you know, it's after all it's Adar already, and we have to get ready for Purim. But I do want to share with you the Igle Tal. The Igle Tal is a fascinating answer to this Gemara in Masechta Pesachim. Yeah.
Couldn't this be talking about time when bamas were allowed?
Oh, you were machaving to the. Did you learn this Igle Tal?
I should learn that. No.
Why? Why Chas V'Sholom?
I can't read it.
You can't read an Igle Tal?
No.
So how do you know about bamas? I mean, somebody knows about Heter bamas. And hasn't read the Igle Tal. I don't know.
I'm learning Shmuel right now. We're talking about
okay, Heter Bamas. Very good. Okay, so the cat is out of the bag. So let me explain to you what Joel has in mind. So the Igle Tal says the following. This is on page Shin Beis. He says that the Rashba has a big chiddush. The Gemara assumes that there are two types of basar. There's basar shar, or basar par, if you want to call it, and there's other types of basar. You know, there's lamb, and so forth and so on. So what's unique about basar, cow's meat, it is eino mizbashel afilu b'kli rishon, which means the following, that if you have very tough meat, and it's very hard to, because cooking has to soften it up, then if there's no eish, if there's no fire under the kli rishon, even though it still has a status of kli rishon and it's yatzo lettuce bowl, you can't cook the meat in that pot. Comes along the Rashba, and again, well, I'm skipping all the details about how he fits himself into the Gemara, and he says the Gemara is lavdafka basar shar, but applies to all basar. So therefore, basar cannot be cooked even in a kli rishon. So Rabbanu Shalom, the Gemara is asking now about Chamei Tveria. The whole suffering about Chamei Tveria is because there's no Eish. If there's no Eish, then
how can you have Yatzar Rebisbah?
No. That's the phenomenon called Chamei Tveria. Next time you're up north, Harvey, you'll take a dip in Chamei Tveria, and you'll see that it's Yatzar Rebisbah. But I'm asking a different question. My question is as follows. If Basar could not be cooked in a Kli Rishon, correct? And what was the Gemara Suffolk here about Chamei Tveria? Chamei Tveria is not Eish. I mean, that's the whole Suffolk, but it's certainly not Agavia Eish. So what was the Havamina that you could have Bishol of Basar according to the Rashba Shita? Right? Minole, the Igle Tal is upset about this Rashi. He says, Minole lidamos kolmi sharmini basal basal shar. The Rashba took a leap of faith and he assumed that all types of meat fit into the category of basar shor, and therefore they cannot be cooked, and even in a kli rishon. And he says, yesh li ol chacha. He says, I'll prove it to you. The gam basar kvasim misbashel b'kli rishon mehadi omar avchizu b'perikol shadaf mem aleph imsochim amavashel b'chamei tveria. And the Gemara vacillates whether he's potter or not in Shabbos, and then Pesach Shabbishlo b'chamei tveria. And the Gemara has a tzad to say this chayev. Why? The over al isabishol. So the Gemara says b'chamei tveria, there's a possibility of the avera of bishol in chamei tveria, bishol Pesach. How could it be according to the Rashba, who extends the halach of basa, that basa is not subject to bishol even in a kli rishon, and it's not latdafka basa shor, but even applies to basa tleh, basa keves, like in the case of korban Pesach. So this is where the Yigli Tal has a kasha on the Rashi. So sometimes, the Yigli Tal doesn't say this out loud, but we'll put it into his mouth. Sometimes, if you have a good kasha, ask another kasha, and a second kasha will help you answer the first kasha. He says the following. Hikshuli ish echad. Somebody, an anonymous person, asked me the following question. Chami tferi b'pesach eich mishkachasli. Harei, ein chami tferi b'yushalayim. And therefore you're going to have to take it from Yerushalayim to there. Or if you take it to here, it's going to be in a cliche. And he says that in order to answer this question, he says the following. Mishkachasle, the only way I can understand the Gemara's kasha, unless you're going to say that he siphoned off water from a kli, from the chamei tver, but then it's a klisheni, is b'shas mishkachasle b'shas heter habonos. Okay. Now there's a lot of lumdus here about Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni. I'm not holding, so don't hold me responsible. I'm skipping all of these distinctions. But he says that the Iser of Bishol of Basar Pesach applies even in a Bama. Again, there's a ton of lumdus here. You have to be mamish orangutan in kodshim here. And he quotes a Mishnah of Melech Reish Hilchos Pesach Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel. The Asur, that is an Iser of Bishol Basar Pesach, even in what? In a Bama, B'shas Heter Bamos. The time of the day may Aroy afil b'bamos, Sibur lo Yikra Pesach Sheni. Okay, fine, this is all very complicated, but he says, if we're talking about Hakrovas HaPesach b'bama, so he says, where was the Bama located in this case? In Tveri. And if the Bama was located in Tveria, that's how he was Mavashel the Basar HaPesach in Chamei Tveria. But in Tveria itself. Okay. Then King. Shapir Mishkachas Le Pesach the Tveria Bisman Heter Abbas. Okay. Just 1 second. See if I... Okay. So that's point number one. So again, let's just... I have to just collect my thoughts. So we have number one, a possibility of saying that there may be bishul in a klisheni in the case of a thermos. We have another possibility of saying that there might be bishul in a klisheni if it's kalia bishul, if you hold yesh... Tzliya, Yesh Bishol Akar Tzliya. We had a third possibility that maybe we're talking Bishas Heter Bamos, and Enochinami, he was able to cook the Basar Pesach in Tveri itself because of Heter Bamos. Okay. Then the Yigli Tal goes on with a fourth possibility. Oh. And he says the following. He's got a Taz in Yoredeya Siman Sadi Beis, and the Taz claims that if you dig a Kli Sheni into a Kli Rishon, then a Kli Sheni has the status of a Kli Rishon. Are you with me on that? Like, for example, how do you say in English a matzeket?
A ladle,
yeah. If you put a ladle, dip it into a kli rishon shel gavi ha'esh, then the water in the ladle has the status of a kli rishon. So the Gital says that if I put a ladle directly into Chamei Tveria, according to this shita of the Taz, then the ladle has the status of a kli rishon. Again, that doesn't solve the other problem, because it's not going to be yad soledis. So let's go. You follow what I mean?
Why not?
Well, again, if you're going
to, by the time you get to Yerushalayim,
yeah. Unless you go to Pshat Hetter Bamas. If you're talking Hetter Bamas, I don't need the Taz, right? Then I could just say he cooked it in a kli rishon of Chamei Tveria. But if you're going to go with the assumption that it's not during Hetter Bamas, so then once again you could have bishul in what looks like a kli sheni but has the status of a kli rishon, but it's not going to be yad sol lettuce.
You have to dip the thermos into the turkey.
So you're going to have to dip the thermos, right? But it could be if you dip the thermos you don't even need this, but that's according to Shmir Shabbos, maybe you'll have to do it. See, I just want to make one comment here, and again maybe you'll laugh at me, but it's Adar, so I don't mind. Is the Gemara really asking about Chamei Tveria? I don't know if the whole sugi is about Chamei Tveria. What do I mean? There's Chamei Tveria, and there's conceptual Chamei Tveria. Chamei Tveria is not a phenomenon that's limited to Tveria. So I'm asking the following. If you find hot springs in Yerushalayim, I know outside here, on the way to... what's it called? People go into Bigford there, you know. Have you ever...
Lifted.
What's it called?
Lifta.
And it's on. Is it on the way to Telstone? Like on the way to on the Kvish Achad? So that actually, I saw it with my own eyes. People park the car on the side of the highway. I don't know how safe it is, and they go into a mikveh there, and the water is hot. So I'm just wondering, when the Gemara says Chamei Tveria, do we have to take the Gemara literally? Tveria mamish. It's not a halushim din in Tveria. It's a din in hot springs. So the Gemara wants to know what would be if within Chomos Yerushalayim you would find Chamei Tveria. You wouldn't call it Chamei Tveria. You're going to have to change the name. We'll call it Chamei Yerushalayim. But nevertheless, it has the same modus operandi. You know, it operates in the same way. And therefore, the Gemara wants to know: is that called bishul? And the Korban Pesach would be cooked there. But in any event, it's just, to me, it's fascinating that this Gemara, you know, stimulated so much, so many questions. All right, Rebbe, so for the time being, we'll put Malechas Bishul on the side.
How does Rav Chaim understand the Kali Bishul? Because he holds even by Kali Bishul, it's mutter on the cliché.
Well, I guess he holds that we don't have Kali Bishul, meaning that Kali Bishul was a phenomenon that existed back in the time of the Gemara. We don't know how to identify Kali Bishul. And he never accepted the Chumrah to say that, you know, we don't know what's Kali Bishul if everything potentially is a Kali Bishul. So you want to take Lemon, but Gedalia, maybe you could find, because you're good at finding Svarim here. We're looking for the Chazanish in Or HaChaim, and we haven't been able to find him. Because I think he's makil on putting Lemon in hot tea. Which is very fascinating, the Chazanish is making on the sugar.
Not on the sugar. You're talking about on the tea itself.
In Mamish, in hot tea. Yeah, I'm not talking about Schita. I'm talking about Bishul, the Kli Sheni. And he's unwilling to accept this, you know, blanket Easter of...
Sugar is already cooked.
I'll tell you exactly where it is. I know there's only one volume of Or HaChaim, I think. I have it here, Siman Nun Beis. Siman Nun Beis, if we remember that. So I'm just curious to know if we find the Chazanish here. Alright. By the way, you should know this, the in certain circles, yeah, you do me a favor, if you can, open up to Siman Nun Beis, if cotton you test, and see if he speaks about lemon and tea. Okay? Because I love lemon, so for me this is mamish very important. You should know the Chazanish in certain circles gets a bad reputation as a machmir. Does that ring a...
It's pretty well earned.
I just want to tell you that it's not always the case.
Not always.
I'll tell you why. Because I think I mentioned to you once, I did a research project on Yichud, on the laws of Yichud. I wrote it up in Tchumin. And the issue that comes up over and over and over again is what we call yichud with an eishes ish, a baila be'ir. So that means that a married woman is allowed to be alone with a man, when I talk about with her husband, if her husband is somewhere within the city. And honestly, on an emotional level, I feel that there are many ways that you could restrict that and limit it. And the Chazon Ish goes wild over this. Everything's mutar. The Chazon Ish is matir. Any hours of the night, there's only some para adam he talks about that might break into the house. The Chazon Ish is mekil, even if the husband is laid up in a hospital with broken legs. What are the chances that he's going to get out of bed and show up? And he goes on and on and on with all sorts of kulas and yichud. I saw the Chazon Ish as far as Stam Yenom is concerned. This is a whole different discussion. Stam Yenom, we assume that if a Jew is not religious, then we're not allowed to drink from his wine if it's open, if it's not cooked, blah, blah, blah. And the Chazon Ish was mekel on that. And I myself saw with my eyes a mashgiach on Pesach. There were strict rules that the Meltzarim, how do you say, the waiters would not touch the wine because they weren't necessarily Orthodox. And with my own eyes, maybe I shouldn't say this publicly, I saw a waiter took one of the bottles in his hand and the mashgiach came along and he smashed the bottle while he was holding on to it. The waiter ended up holding on to the top of the bottle. And I'm telling you, the Chazon Ish is mekel, because the Chazon Ish holds that the whole Issur of Stam Yenom is because of chasnus. And there's no Issur chasnus, no matter whether a person is religious or not religious. So I'm just saying, you know, what do we have with lemon? Maybe we can come up another cooler for the Chazon Ish.
Yeah, v'nera demutar liten limon letoch kli sheni, af shayat soledet.
Af shayat soledet.
But beforehand, he also is.
Nira kebishu is another subject. Right. I didn't even touch.
Mishum kare dehabshin. Ein lachzik v'stam.
Ein lachzik v'stam. I'll tell you what he means by ein lachzik v'stam. He means to say that the whole halacha is irrelevant. That's what he really means, because we don't know what fits under kali abishu.
But he does add, because he makes this
shock
before I saw
it. I was excited.
Verak biyad nichvet yesh makom nachus. So he's mechalik between yad
soledet
and yad nichvet. So boiling hot cup of tea would be one thing. He said, you know, it seems like he's saying there's yesh makom nachus. He doesn't say.
But for yad nichvet, okay.
Yad nichvet.
But in the Velt, you should know.
What is
they always, yad nichvet means that it actually. You get a second degree, I don't know what to call it.
Scold.
A third, it's, yeah, scalding hot. You know, you have to again break this down into, you'll take a look, I don't know if you're familiar with Rav Shimon Eidrich. So he'll break it down into, you know, this is called Poshrim, and this is called Cham, and this is called Yad Soledes, and this is called Yad Nichves, and he's got a whole thing. It's in Fahrenheit, though. But you're from Detroit, so you didn't cross over the river to the other side. You know, then you have to give it in centigrade.
It makes an interesting critical across the board about yad nichveit. Even in Kol Shlishi, it might be a problem.
Right. Oh, that's what the rabbi was saying. But that's yad nichveit. You know, to get yad nichveit in Kol Shlishi, you really have to.
That's what he said.
Okay, Rabbos.
Not so much.
Adkan Bishul. Now let's talk about Meleches Zoreh. Okay then, so we start of course with the Mishnah, and the Mishnah should have, Lechora, the Gemara says, should have begun with Choresh, because we're talking about Sidur de Pas, and instead the Mishnah has Zoreah first. So the Gemara immediately on Ayin Gimel on the Beis jumps on this. Michtev, let's look at this logically. Mechariv, Karvei, Bereshi. First, you begin with Harisha. And then you go on to Zriya. Harisha prepares the ground for Zriya. It's Lisnei Choresh, Behadol Lisnei Zoreya. Now, why did the Mishnah start with Zoreya? So the Gemara says that we have some sort of a principle called Agav Urche Kamashma. Sometimes the Mishnah wants to chaparite another Chiddush. And what Chiddush did the Mishnah want to chaparite? That there is such a thing as a Harisha that came after Zriya. How so? Tana the Eretz Yisrael Koi, Dizare Beresha Vahadar Karvi. In other words, in addition to the preparation of the land for Zriya, that's not enough. because even after the zera is in the karka, he still does another chavisha. So Rashi says, why does he do a second chavisha? So Rashi says, eino yochel lechasos, because in zriya, in order for the seed to take, you also need that it be covered by the ground. And in order to achieve that goal, you'll need another charisha, Rashi says. Rashi me'ina doha nami charisha hav. Now here I'm not sure what Rashi means by ha nami charisha hav. Yeah, Rabbi?
There is a Saviyad Yerushalmi that has charisha first.
That's interesting. Because I would have thought Dafkin Yerushalmi, they should have Zriya first. Okay. You know, sometimes you have a reversal of roles. You know, the Babli is more concerned with Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi is more concerned with the Babli. Good. So what do we have now? We have a question here about the second Charisha, correct? Because the Mishnah is establishing that at least in Eretz Yisrael you could have Zorea and then Choresh, which means you could have a Charisha that's subsequent to the Zriya. And if, again, you'll fight me on this, but I'll just tell you what I feel. I don't think you'll agree with me, but I think that Rashi means here that the Mishnah wants to tell you that a Charisha after Zriya in Eretz Yisrael is Melech HaZoreh. What do I mean? Charisha, by definition, as opposed to Zriya, is a preparatory stage. And that's why the Gemara wants to know, why did the Mishnah write Zoreh after Charisha? Charisha should be first. It's a Hechsher for Zriya. And I think what the Mishnah is trying to tell you, according to Rashi, is that there's a meaningful Charisha, which is not B'toras Hechsher. It's not for the purpose of preparing for Zriya, but rather for what? For improving the Zriya. And if it's for the purpose of improving the Zriya, you'll be Chayav Mishum Zoreh. Okay, that's point number one. Now, point number two. Where do we find the possibility, explicitly in Shas, that after the Zriya, you can improve the process of, I call it Tzmicha, and be Chayav Zoreh? And that's the sugya called Menakesh and Mashke Zron. The sugya is in Moed Katan. Do we have a Moed Katan here? So I'll just, you know, I don't want to bother you, just by memory. We have three shitas in Masechta Moed Katan, Daf Beis and Beis. One shita says, Machlokes Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba says that Menakesh and Mashke Zron is fundamentally to improve the karka, and therefore it's Meleches Choresh. And Rav Yosef says, no, there's already something that's growing in the karka, and you want to improve the productivity or the growth, the tzmicha of that which is already planted. And you do it in one of two ways, either by adding water to the plant that's already been planted, or by taking away all these weeds and barriers that prevent it from growing. In both cases, says Rav Yosef, Yechad Mishum Zoreh. Abai is a third sheet. He says Yichai for both malachas. Because on the one hand you're improving the ground, and that makes it Charisha, and Rab is right. But on the other hand you're also improving the Zera and its productivity, and therefore Yichai Mishum Molecha Zorea, so therefore Yichai of Shtayim. Okay. Where's the Maramakomos that I gave you?
Here.
Okay. Oh, Hagol Sashri. Do you have that?
Yes.
It should be number Dalit on your Maramakomos page.
Yes, it is.
All right, good. So you know that there's a super commentary that was attached to the Rosh called Agos Ashri. And here in the eighth parak of Shabbos, he makes the following comment. We have something called an Otzitz Nakuf. Now, what's unique about an Otzitz Nakuf? That in this flower pot, there are holes. So let's say the flower pot is suspended the gova above the karka, but since it has holes on the bottom, it gets its unika from the karka. And the Agos Ashri says the following. What happens if he takes this Otzitz Nakuf and he completely cuts it off from its unique of an akark. In such a case, he's chayav mishum meleches kotzer. That's called oker dover megiduo. Didn't we discuss this? Oker dover megiduo? I think we discussed it.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so that's for a shir in meleches kotzer. That part of the Agosa Shri is universally accepted. Nobody questions that assumption. The unique status of an otzitz nakuv is that it's considered as if it's growing in the ground, and therefore by cutting it off from its source in the ground, by, let's say, he takes it and he locks it up in his closet, he'll be chayev mishuma oker dov migidulo for meleches kotzer. That's not a chiddush. Well, he wants to know the opposite. What happens if he takes this otzitz nakuv and instead of locking it up in his closet, he puts it on the karka? And the Agos Hashri doesn't spell out the havamina, he just tells you his maskana. I'm going to fill in the havamina. The havamina in this case, and we'll see that all the Rishonim accept this havamina, with the exception of the Agos Hashri, is that he should be chayav for zoreh. Why? Because even though there's yinika in an otzitz nakuv from the karka, but it's still a slow process. It's an indirect yinika. When he takes the otzitz nakuv and he places it in the karka, he improves the productivity of this otzitz, and he's chayav mishum zoreh. Comes along that goes to Shri, and he says, without quoting any of the other Rishonim, he says, Eino chayav mishum zoreh. The afal gav, the yeshlo yinika tovi yoser, even though he's improved the yinika and therefore the growth productivity of this tzemach, but kevan she tzemach zekvar haya mechubel akarka biyodo biyotzitz, it has the capacity to grow even though it's in a flower pot because it's got holes on the bottom and it gets yinika from the karka. Therefore, it's already growing. If it's already growing, then you can't tell me that yichayv mishum zoreh. It's kind of, again, I don't want to compare it, but it's a little bit like what we discussed once. You know, ain't tolchen achet tolchen or ain't bishul achet bishul. You know, you can't repeat the same malacha twice. You've already accomplished a zriya, albeit it's not your first, you know, zriya to the first power, but it's a zriya. It's already in a state of yinikum and akarka, and it has the power, the potential of tzmicha, of growth, and therefore you're not chayav mishum zoreh. He's not denying the mitzvahs that the yinika now is much healthier and it's more, you know, it's going to speed up this whole process of growth. But he says that's not enough. You already have something that's what? That's growing. It has a din of karka. And if it has a din of zriya but karka, you can't be chayav for zriya even though you improved the zriya. So the Minchas Chinuch quotes all the other Rishonim who argue and say Yechayev Mishum Zoreha, and he says that the proof is almost black and white against the Hagos Hashri. We have to feel a lot of compassion and empathy for the Hagos Hashri. The proof is from this sugya in Masechta Moed Katan. The Gemara Moed Katan says that he's Chayev according to Rav Yosef and even according to Abaye. He's going to be chayav for meleches zoreah in the case of Mashkin's Roy. And in case of Menakesh, let's take Menakesh for example. What happens in Menakesh? He's not planting anything, it's already been planted. And yet he's chayav mishum zoreah. Why is he chayav mishum zoreah? Al korchenu, because he what? He improves the zriah. He improves the tzmicha. If you improve the tzmicha, you don't have to start with a new zriah to be chayav mishum zoreah. And therefore, in the case of removing the nikush, you know, all those weeds and so forth and so on, that are strangling the tzemach, and now you free the tzemach to grow at a faster pace, that is called shibuchei mashbiach the zriya, and any shibuchei, any mashbiach the zriya is chayav mishum zoreah, as it's stated in the Gemara. And even, by the way, according to Rabu, who says chayav mishum choresh, many Rishonim say Ach Mishum Choresh, and even those who deny Ach Mishum Choresh, they say that he's Chayav Mishum Choresh because you have a choice of two malachas, and you got to choose which one, and since his action is being done directly on the karka, not on the zera, therefore he's Chayav Mishum Choresh. But the fundamental underlying principle that if you add and enhance the tzmicha of something that's already planted, yochai b'shum zoreya, even Rav Yosef agrees to that, and there's no one who denies that definition. Therefore, if according to the Agos HaShri, I improve the tzmicha, he's not denying that, by taking an otzis nakuf and putting it in the karka, why shouldn't I be chayav for melecha zoreya? And he says, no, he's part of melecha zoreya. And Baruch Hashem, all the Rishonim disagree with him. I am milchaschinat meleches zriya os gimel. I don't have it in front of me, but he gives you all the lineage. Yeah,
maybe just to try to defend the Hagahot Asri.
Okay, that's what they go. Tal, you're in good company. Yeah. Go ahead.
Maybe the Gemara is talking about Mashkes Hazran. It's not talking about. I'm assuming it's not talking about if you're mashke a tree. Would that be the same thing?
Sure.
From the
well, mashke tree is called notea, but notea is, with the exception of Rabbi Chananel, notea is an av malacha of zoreh. So zoreh and notea are basically one and the same. Zeb is roim, the zeb is ilan.
It could be that from the Gemara is talking about a case where without that pu'ula they would die. So essentially, you are, by doing those pu'ulot, you are not really just mashbiach et ha-zriya, but you're allowing it to be mikayim. So if you're allowing it to be miskayim...
That's an excellent thought. Beautiful. I didn't think of that.
You're saying
like that maybe yeshbuche zera is only when its life is in jeopardy. You know, it's, if there's no guarantee that it's so dry, you know, in the summer months in Israel that, you know, if you're not mashkes roim, if you don't irrigate it, right, it'll die. Well, for example, the nikush is so critical that it's going to die. But to improve the zriya, that's a beautiful pshat. I love that. I think that's better than what the Igli Tal says. But I'm going to share with you what the Igli Tal says, because that's what I prepared for Shiel. And first of all, you should know that there's a very ambiguous Rambam, which again, I don't have, you know, I was too busy with Bishul to bring in the Sfarim for Zriya, but the Rambam in Perek Ches Haloch Dalid, oh, you have a Rambam, great. So I'll borrow your Rambam if you don't mind, Rambam. There's a sentence there in the Rambam that seems to say explicitly against the Hagos HaShri. Let's see if we can read it here. Oops, sorry. He says, Kol zera shektziroso mitzamachaso so umagadloso kagon aspasto. Okay, this is the case of aspasto, which is also a sugya in the Gemara about sometimes cutting it down will improve its productivity problem, and the Rambam says that he's chayv mishum. Okay, in this case, it's notea, but means zoreya. And then he has the case of zomer. Then he says the following: gavshushis shel afar sheasu ba asovim. So somehow this gavshushis is able to produce grass, and it's higbio me'al ha'aretz. He went ahead and he lifted up this gavshushis from the ground. Ve'inicho al gavi yisedo. So this is the case of otzitz nakuv, where he took the otzitz nakuv that was yonik from the karka, and he placed it in his closet. That was the dramatic example I gave him. Chayav mishum tolish. Tolish is kotzer. Oh, now he has the reverse case. Choysa al gavi yisedo. V'nicha ala oretz chayav mishum zorea. So the Gital understands that the word yesedos here, which are like, I don't know, what were poles, you know, vertical poles, he says that's called an otzis she nakuv, meaning there's plenty of airspace for yenika. It's not something that he left it to die. It's got the potential for productivity. But yet he nichal ha'aretz, and now has a greater potential for productivity, is chayav mishum zoreh. So he claims, the Igli Tal, that this Rambam, which is a little bit ambiguous, this Rambam, we're not exactly sure what gavshushis shall offer is a raya brura to those who disagree with the Igli Tal. That even though this gavshushis shall offer al gabi yisedos is still able to maintain itself, and it has enough yunika, nevertheless, when you put it down on the ground, you're chayv mishum zoreh. Oh. So the Igli Tal wants to take a stab at this Hagos HaShri. Does everybody here in the room understand, so I don't have to bother translating it, the difference between Echus and Kamus? Is that Muvan, or should I just explain it?
Quality and quantity.
Excellent. So Echus is called quality. And the Iglital wants to claim the following. That the sugya of Mashkiz Ra'im and Menakesh in Masechta Moikotan is Zorea B'Toras Echus. Let me explain. What happens is that by doing this act of watering the plant or removing the weeds, you make a qualitative change in the very nature of the Zriya. It's a qualitative upgrade or improvement on the Zriya. But he says the following. Again, this is his agricultural assumption, and you can, if you want, you take him to court for it. Don't blame me for this. He claims that taking an otzitz nakuv and placing it on the karka is only an improvement in kamus, but not in echus. It means the karka, in both cases, has the same. What word am I looking for? Potency? No, what's the word I'm looking for?
Fertility.
Fertility? No, okay. Proclivity? I'm looking for a word in English. But anyway, the character hasn't been improved here as far as Tzmicha is concerned. There's no change in qualitative terms. Okay, before it was lifted up above the character, now you put it on directly on the character. What have you gained, he says? The benefit is purely kamutit. What do you mean by kamutit?
Quantity.
It means the following. That how long will it take until this zera will produce its leaves, its fruits, or whatever? If it's an otzitz nakuf, it'll take 30 days, it may even take 3 months. It's a slow process. As soon as you put it in the ground, because of its connection directly to the ground, the Yanika is at a very high speed pace. Therefore, it will produce its fruit or its leaves in 2 weeks. You haven't made any qualitative change over here. It's the same karka. Masha'en came in the case of Mashke Zroim, by adding water to the karka now has, you know, the liquids, the moisture, the ingredients that it needs to produce. You've made a major change in preparing this zriya. And in the case of Menakesh, since the zriya is impeded by all these weeds that are strangling it, by removing these weeds, you've made a qualitative change in the karka as far as the zriya is concerned. In other words, he's looking at zriya and karka as one entity, as one unit, meaning the karka. And the whole purpose of putting the zriya in order to facilitate the karka and its yinika in order to produce tzmicha. So if you can improve the karka within the context of this tzmicha, you're really being mishabeach the tzmicha. And the tzmicha itself, since it's qualitatively improved, that's called melechus orea. But if the tzmicha itself is the same tzmicha, it's from the same karka, you have not improved the karka and its capacity, its ability to produce, then what have you done? You've only taking a zera and you've being makariv it, so to speak, you've made it closer to what? To the source of yinika. So you've taken a zera and you and it was yonek, but it was yonek from a distance, right? The begova. And now you collapse, you reduce that distance, so now the yinika comes quickly. It goes directly into the tzemach. Okay, so he says that's very nice and fine. It'll improve the kamus in terms of when you could finally achieve your goal of ending up with some sort of a growth, but it hasn't made any change in the proclivity, whatever that word is that I'm looking for, the ability of the karka to produce. So when is it considered another zriya if you've already planted it? When you change the karka in an echuti, in a qualitative way, improving its ability to produce, and therefore the zera, insofar it's connected to the karka, now has a power to produce that it didn't have before, but that, he says, is a shinui or a shevach echuti. Masha'en came in the case of otzitz, all he's improving it is what? In kamus, what do you mean by kamus?
Quantity.
In kamus is an amount, but here he means the amount of time that it'll take until you finally get to your goal. So far, so good, Rabbi. We're only on Hakof Al. Now we get to Hakof Abeis. Kamus Tal, if this beautiful presentation, which again you have to analyze it from an agricultural perspective, we'll have to ask the farmers. And he says, but I have a Gemara against it. And the sugya is in Masechta Beitza on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis. What happens on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis? Let's see if I have the Gemara here in front of me, because again, I need that extra 5 minutes to bring in all the Gemaras. Tanya. Echad Mevias Ha'or. So Reuven brings the fire. Echad Mevias Ha'etzen. Shimon brings the wood. Echad shofes es hakedera. Okay, so now we have Eitzim and Eish that are burning, and you have your campfire. And Shimon comes, Levi comes along, and what does he do? He puts the kedera on top of the fire. Okay, but what's in the kedera? Nothing's in the kedera. So now we need Yisachar, right? Reuven, Levi, Shimon. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yisachar, right? Yisachar. Okay, I got it right. So Yisachar comes along.
Yehuda.
Again, it's only on Purim that I'm asking you, you know, but I'll focus to see if you're awake. So now we have Yehuda.
Okay.
So Yehuda comes along and he puts the mayim in the kedera. Okay? Okay, so now we have water in the kedera. Now up to Yisachar.
Levi,
who's number 5? Levi, I thought we said it's number 3.
Yes,
okay, so what does he do? He adds the food into the pot. Who knows him betocho as a tavl? Now, who's after Yisachar's vulim, I think, right?
Yes.
The buzz vulim, that's not the Gemara, but that's a umegis. And he stirs it. Okay, who's chayv? I'm just joking with you, I'm quizzing you. Kulam chayov. The Gemara says they're all chayov. I think, Rabbi, you can find this in the Rambam in Perek Ches. See if you can find it. It's towards the beginning of Perek Ches. But it's a Gemara in Beitz and Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis. So in the sugya, the Gemara asks many questions about why they're all chayov and how they organized it in such a way that it's a joint effort and they're all chayov. But then the Gemara wants to know, why is the Megis chayov? So the Gemara answers that Megis is Chayav. Why? Because he's Memayer Bishulo. He speeds up the process of Bishul. Why does the Igle Tal see in this Gemara an upslug to everything that he produced, his whole presentation, to defend Dagol Soshri?
Because you Memayer when you put the
nuts. Excellent. You see that you don't need Echus to be Machayev, correct? We haven't changed anything fundamental, says the Igle Tal in this Bishul. We've only sped up the process. And that's exactly why the Gemara establishes that Megis is Chayev. Did you find the Rambam by any chance? It's not in Perikhas? Oh, okay, so we'll look it up. But it's there in the Rambam. I thought it was at the beginning of Perikhas. Says the Igle Tal, if this be the case, he says, if Mamiris Abishal is Chayav, in the case of Meleches Megis, in Megis, he says, why not say the same thing in the case of the Otzitz, which he plants now in the ground? He's Mamiris Azriel, or Mamiris Atzmicha.
Who says you can do that?
No, I'm saying that Agos Hashri says that's not called Zoreh. Effectively, Tal, why is it not so rare? The intent to Loma, it's not so rare because you're only speeding up the process of Tzmicha. Why is it that in the case of Megis, he's Chayav Bishum Memayres Abishul, and in the case of Zriya, according to the Agos Hashri, even though he's Memayres Zriya, he's not Chayav, you hear the cash of the Igle Tal. How many people in the room, I'm just curious, are following the logic of the Igle Tal? Only 3 people.
No, I'm following what he's saying, but Zriya has so many more complex things involved in it than Bishul. Meyer's a bishel. That's fine. It's good because you're getting to the end point.
We're getting to the end point. I like this. Yeah.
The end point of eating it. I mean,
Good. But in the case it's real,
it doesn't help because there's time factor involved in that. In terms of as this, you know, this is true. For the sun from day to day changes. And the,
No. Alan, you started beautifully, but I just want you to finish beautifully. Let's start again. You said very well in bishel.
Yeah.
In Bishel, what are we interested in? What is the Maleches Machsheves, the Tikkun of Bishel?
Cook food,
a Tavshil, whether it's Kemaychel Ben Josai, whether it's, right? Well, the whole purpose is to get to an end. When you want to get to an end, the faster you can get to the end goal, you know, this is what football is all about. You're from Detroit.
Right.
Right? So I think they play a little football in Detroit, if I remember correctly, right? although they're not up there with Philadelphia and
they all do as well as I do with the Eagle Town.
Great. Okay. So Alan says very well. You know why Meyer Lemaire's Abishol in the case of Vegas is called the Maleches Bishol? Because the whole purpose of Bishol is not starting a process but finishing a process. I'm chayev because I started a process which will, as soon as possible, end up with a Tavshil. If somebody could come along and speed up the process through Vegas, that's why he's chayev for Bishol.
My wife would disagree with that, isn't
it? Yeah, why?
Well, because
she likes slow cooking.
If you finish the Bishol too early, then
it doesn't taste good.
Then after that, it's overcooked.
Hopefully they'll take it off the fire right
time.
That's why they have these clocks.
Yeah, that's right. Then you take it off the fire, and now you don't have hot food.
Right. So there is such a thing as slow cooking. But we're not talking now about slow cooking. We're talking about the husband comes home from a hard day's work. You know, he just did three heart surgeries, so whatever. Oh, you weren't a surgeon, were you?
No.
Okay. So, anyway, you've had hard days at work, right? So you want to get a good meal, right? A good square meal. So she wants to, not at any loss to the Tavshil, she wants to speed up the process. That's called Megas. That's called, again, Megas is a concept. But he says in the case of Zriya, okay, I'm giving you a hint. Right, Bishol starts here and ends here. What about Zriya? Exactly, Zriya is starting the process. Zriya has nothing to do with the end product. In fact, Iglital goes far out on a limb over here, and he says the following. You remember we had a Gemara on Daf Dalet that we spoke about many times. Right, Hidbik Pas Betanur, Boch Avero, his friend comes along, he wants to be rode to the pass. Do we say, Omrim Chatei Vishvil Shetizke Chavero, which means that if you remove the whatchamacallit, the dough from the oven before krimas pass, then you're not chayev, says the Iglital. But in Zriya, if you would plant the seed and somebody comes along and removes the seed from the ground, you'd be chayev anyway. Pilei plan. I mean, both sides of the Iglital is mind-boggling. You have to see it inside to believe it. Because I would have said the following. The chiddush of Zriya is, and we discussed it at great length, that there's a tnai in Zriya that there should be klita and hashrosha. That tnai is only a tnai, and therefore it's not part of the mechayev, but it's a tnai. He goes even a step further. He claims that the hashrosha and the klita is not even a tnai. And therefore, if somebody would be rode as azriya, like rode as apas, the zoreh would still be chayev. And he redefines melech azriya. And he says, as Yechiel said before, that melech azriya just means hanochas hazera betocha karka. Is memela. There's no raya, says the Iglital, from Megas. There's no proof from the Malach of Bishol that Mamayer es hatotzah, right, let's use that word, is a Machayev in Zriya. It is a Machayev in Bishol. Because the whole purpose of Bishol is to get to Tavshil. You want to get it baked and cooked, and as soon as you can, the better. Not the case of slow cooking, but speed up cooking. And therefore, the Megas is Chayev. Don't equate that by analogy to the case of Zorea. In the case of Zorea, it's not the end result that we want to achieve. You're chayev for setting up a Zera that's roi. Again, the conditions are such that it could possibly come to Klita Vashrosha, but it doesn't necessarily have to do that. And therefore to say, against Agos Hashri, that you're chayev for taking the otzitz nakuv and putting it on the karka because that's going to speed up its tzmicha, you have no right to say such a thing. Because that halacha, that principle of lemayeres atotzah, which you derive from Bishul, is a unique principle in Hilchus Bishul. And in Bishul, you're going to be chayev for speeding up the tafshil, but not in other malachas. And therefore, for sure, not in Zriah. And that's why the Leital goes back to defend his original distinction by saying that Menakesh and Mashkiz run, you make a qualitative change in the Zera and its power of Tzmicha. You've turned the Karka into an upgraded Karka that now the Tzmicha is qualitatively changed. That's the only case that the Hagos HaShri is going to admit that you chayv Mishum Zorea. Because it's almost as if you did a new Zriah. Why is it as if you did a new Zriah? Because you've changed it in such a way that now it's like in a different Karka. However, in the case, that's okay in the case of Mashkiz Roy, in the case of Menakesh, but in the case of what? Of Atzitz Nakuv, there in the case of Atzitz Nakuv, it was Yonek from this Karka, and even though it was Yonek at a distance now, it continues to be Yonek from the Karka. You haven't changed anything. What you've changed is the proximity will allow and facilitate a speeded up process in Zorea, where the Machayev is starting the process, not completing the process. It doesn't matter one iota how fast.
That's assuming that
this is the Igli Tal to the best of my understanding.
Rabbi, the Rambam is in Perek Tet, and he defines it. He says, "Shekol ha'osed davar
mitzoh mitzochei ha'bishul." Exactly. My Rebbe has a lot of Torah on that Rambam. Oh, I didn't realize it was in Perek Tet. But that's I'm just presenting to you the Igli Tal. Okay.
That's assuming he's correct in
Right. The agriculture, I'm not. So wait, just give me a minute, Jarbosai. I want to just see where I'm holding here. One second.
Agriculture is something that's. There's a qualitative difference between whether the water comes from the earth upward and you smell the neck of the water from the plant. Makes it, it's, the plant is entirely different. It's strength and health.
Is that true for seed? Or is that true for something that's growing as roots?
What?
True for seeds? Or is that true
for
something that's roots already?
For anything that else looks like
it. Okay, Rabbi, so the truth is that at this point, I have a whole new dimension of Zriah, but I don't think I want to fit it into the 15 minutes that we have. So let's just at least end with a Rambam. If we could open up to the Rambam, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph. And I want to ask the following question. What sequence does the Rambam have? Remember we said that our Mishnah starts with Zorea, and then goes ahead and mentions Choresh.
Yes, Harisha.
What does the Rambam have?
Harisha. Oh,
the Rambam has Harisha before Zriah. Now, before we get into Pilpulim, it seems to me that the best way or the easiest way of understanding that the Rambam deliberately switched the order, is because the Rambam is not interested in the exceptional case of Eretz Yisrael where you could find a Harisha after Zriah. Correct? And therefore, as a general rule, there is no such thing as Harisha after Zriah, with barring the exception, but the Rambam goes with the general case that what? That first you do Harisha and then you do Zriah. So therefore the Rambam has the order, which in the Hamamim and Gemara was the appropriate order, and maybe there's a Girsa in the Mishnah and so forth and so on. However, it could be that the Rambam switches the order for a different reason. And that is the Rambam wants to explain that there is a definite sequence called Sidur de Pas. And this is especially important to the Rambam with regard to Harisha. So if I could just borrow the Rambam for just one moment, because I'm about to say something, I just want to make sure I get this right. Okay, so the Rambam certainly has Harisha before Zriah, that we saw in Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph. And then in Perek Ches, the Rambam says the following. Hachoresh kol shehu chayav. And then he goes on to say, Hazorea kol shehu chayav. I'm thinking the following. In all the other nine malachas that the Rambam is about to present, which are called Sidur de Pas, the Rambam stipulates that the shear has got to be a grogeris. And the only two exceptions are Choresh and Zoreh. Oh. Now, it could be that the Rambam, in order to justify his conclusion that Choresh is chayav in a kolshu without a grogeris, in other words, there's no way under the sun that in this minute kolshu of Harisha you could produce a grogeris worth. And the Rambam says that the reason why you're chayav is because of Zoreya. Meaning, if you were to identify Harisha as a separate entity, not as a preparatory stage to Zoreya, then you might be tempted to say that insofar as Choresh is part of Sidur de Pas, it too would require a Grogeris. So do me a Harisha which allows me to plant a Grogeris worth. But the Rambam says no, because Choresh is just attached to Zoreya. And Zoreya is chayav for kolshu. And if Choresh is a preparatory stage for Zoreya, that would justify why Choresh is chayav for kolshu, because Zoreya is chayav for kolshu. But then ask yourself the question, why is Zoreya chayav for kolshu? And what's the answer to that question? The Rambam doesn't have any problem with that. Zoreya for sure is chayav for kolshu. Why? What, the seed itself could produce many, many fruits. You know, you're not limited to grogeris. So since Harish is just prepared for Zeria, and certainly one Zera, no matter what size it is, has the potential to produce a tremendous amount, therefore you have, number one, for Zorea as a kolshu, and then going back to Choresh as a preparatory stage for Zeria, you'll be chayav for a kolshu. And he says here in the footnote that a Zoreya kol shehu is based on the halacha of Hotzah. Now this is a Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Yom Beis, and I would like to know if this justifies the Rambam's conclusion. Again, the Gemara is not addressing the question of Shir and Zriya, but rather Shir and Hotzah. And it says that if he's matznia a zera kol shehu, he's chayv. Matznia means he carries it from one rishus to another. And why is that? So Gemara explains, because that's called a hotzah chashuva. What gives the chashivas of this one single zera?
You can plant it.
And the answer is that you can plant it. So he's basing himself on the Magid Mishnah here. I'll give this back to you. And the Magid Mishnah says, well, if it's chashuv to carry one seed, obviously people would plant one seed. In other words, it's worth the tircha to plant one seed and take it from one rishus to the other, going out into wherever we're going out into and planting it. But if, on the other hand, one would claim that ein regil shel adam l'troach for one single zera, it's not worth all the effort, you know, to do harisha and then zriya for one seed, then you would be potter in the case of Zriya Kolshu. This reminds me of a sugya that we studied with regard to Megabel. You remember? We spoke about Megabel Ofa. And the Gemara says that in Perek HaMatzniyah, you would not be chayav for Megabel Ofa unless it has a shear of grogeris. Because to be Megabel as Ofa requires a whole great procedure of tircha, and ain't darkon shel b'nei adam l'troach, you know, for less than a grogeris. And in the same way, one could have theoretically argued that it's not worth all the effort of Harish and Zriya for one single Zera. So the Magid Mishnah says, well, you see that he's going to carry the Zera, and it's called a Molacha Chashuva of Hotzah, because it's worth him to set up the possibility that someone, you know, receiving this Zera will plant that Zera. So you see that it's regilus to plant even one single seed, no matter how small it is.
Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the reason it's called shehu by Hotzah is because your chayav with Zera is one Zera for Zoreya.
So you could say that it's Haba Atalia, meaning, I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg, but it's Haba Atalia, meaning both Hotzah and Zriya have to be a malacha chashuva, and what makes it into chashivas is a regilus that it's worth it to plant one seed. So again, let's just, Rav Osai, I don't want to keep you just two more minutes, let's just review what we discussed today, because I forget already what we discussed. First of all, we spoke about Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, and we came to the conclusion that although Kli Sheni ain't a mevashel, nevertheless, in the case of Kali Abishol, there is Bishon and Kli Sheni. Comes along the Shvir Shabbos Kilchasad, he wants to say that we don't know what Kali Abishol is, and therefore he goes out of his way to tell you not to put your lemon into a Kli Sheni, a hot Kli Sheni. So next time you want to put lemon in your tea, you have two choices. Either cook the lemon before Shabbos, or put it into a Kli Shlishi. And the Chazanish, on the other hand, thanks to Rabbi Gedalia, because I was getting very nervous, but he says, again, I don't know what Yad Onichves is, I don't want to get into that, but even if it's Yad Soletis Bo, he says, forget about Kali Abishol. Don't hack me with Kali Abishol. Then we discussed a very interesting sugya in Masechet Pesachim, and to our surprise, the sugya has a possibility of Bishul of Korban Pesach in Chami Tveria, and we had a number of issues over here, because he can't take the Basar out of Yerushalayim, so he's got to take the Chami Tveria into Yerushalayim. That's already a Klisheni, and Klisheni ain't a Mevashel. So what was the Havamina that could be Bishul in Chami Tveria? So we suggested that there may be such a thing as transporting water in a Klisheni, which is a Kli Rishon, either because it's a thermos and Ein Chodesh Tachas HaShavish, or because it is a case of Tzliya, of Bishul Achar Tzliya, and therefore you can have Bishul and a Kli Sheni if it's Kali Abishul. And then we had the Igli Tal he brought a raya from Dr. Joel, that Dr. Joel spoke about Heter Bamas, and maybe there is a possibility of setting up a Bama out in Tveria. And by doing so, you could be makriv a carbon, and therefore you could be mevashel the carbon pesach on your bama. I mean, you could bring the carbon pesach on the bama, and then if it was cooked, you violate the lav of bishul if chametz feria is bishul. We had the possibility, you remember, Yechiel, of taking water, dipping it in and then putting it in thermos, or maybe b'chlal, if you have tzliya, if you have bishul achar tzliya, and you're worried about the fact that the water cools off, put it in a thermos, and maybe that's what the Gemara had in mind. And then we had the possibility that maybe the Gemara b'chlal doesn't even refer to Chami Tveria. Chami Tveria is a concept, it's not a place on the face of the earth. And anything that's similar to Chami Tveria would have the same issue. If there's no Eish, is there Bishul? And then we discussed we made a Haskalah on Melech Hezriya. We spoke about a very strange possibility that you could have Harisha after Zriya, and yet you might be Chayav Mishum Zoreya. And then we had the whole discussion about the Hagol Sashru. Okay, then, so we'll stop here.
Rabbi, can you say that the...
Wait, Dr. Joel just wanted to ask you one thing, kept it. Yeah, hold on, don't get lost.
Maybe I didn't learn this. Good morning, Rabbi. Matzmiya, a single Zera, I thought if I personally was Makshiv, that this was an important thing, I'd be Chayav for Kerry. But you would not be Chayav for Kerry.
But the reason why you're Chayav is because other people could appreciate what you do. You follow what I'm saying? Meaning, anyone in your situation would do. If you come along and you say that this one Joe on the face of the earth, then I don't think you'd be Chayav. No, because Hotzah has an objective criteria. The very fact that you would do it means that other people would do it as well.
But I would. You wouldn't. With people, then you would not be Chayav for carrying it.
It's a zera.
That I don't know.
I could understand that for Hotzah.
That I don't know. I think that would be Butler Dietz of Malam.
But with Zriya, just
now I am free. I'm sorry. I just wanted to. Yeah.
So I just wanted to know that Gemara. I came in a late. I'm sorry, but I came in a little late, so I didn't hear the Gemara inside. But could you possibly say that? You're not allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim, but you did. I mean, you shechted the Korban Pesach, l'shem Korban Pesach, and now you cooked it. You couldn't eat it. But would you be over on cooking it, even though you couldn't eat it?
That out of Yerushalayim, it's already possible, there's no issue of Bishul. Bishul only means because it's royal Achila, and you are mafkia the mitzvah of Achila.
What I'm trying to wonder...